read this and you can use it for whatever promotional thing. Right. But yeah.
Amy, I'm sure you use this as a boom microphone if you're like recording some video, right?
You can, yeah. Yeah. And I haven't dipped into video much at all.
No?
Which is one thing I'd really like to do more.
Yeah.
I should say period, because I haven't. I just
haven't. Sure. Okay.
Which is kind of lame, but no, well. But,
yeah, I have this like digital SLR camera.
Oh, okay.
So I could take photographs with it. I can't like change the lens in it or whatever.
Yeah.
For filming, it looks great. It shoots in 24 frames a second.
Wow.
And it's good looking. It's beautiful. But it doesn't sound very well.
Okay. So directly on the camera, it doesn't sound well.
Directly on the camera, it doesn't sound very well.
Does it have like AV ports where you can like plug in a different mic at all?
No, it's more of like a consumer camera as opposed to like a camera that you could just do a bunch of stuff on.
Okay.
You know, so.
But it does the job, is what you're saying. I mean,
it looks great.
It's
I
good
just
production.
Need something like this just so I could like record so it doesn't really sound like if I'm in a room, it doesn't sound all echoey or something.
No, that makes sense.
You know, so.
Yeah. No, I've, Tyler Sitar's Tuesday, it's the first Tuesday of the month. Actually, it's going to be a little more than that, not a little more often, but his Whiz Up show. I've been recording that for him for their podcast.
Oh, okay.
And he's been trying to get video, like solid square video of it. We were just chatting the last show, which was last week, Tuesday, whatever it was, of how to try to get those to mesh. Like I said, you know, you can take the audio quality I have, but to try to loop it in with video, I don't really know how that's done. And he said,
sure.
I don't either, but God damn, that might work really well. And I said, yeah, you'd have to just start both at the same time, I guess is what would happen.
Yeah,
I guess I don't know.
Or just like have a clap in it or.
Oh, okay.
If I'm recording a clip at a club or something, I'll have like my camera in the back, and I'll have the voice memo application on my phone on, and
yeah.
I just keep it in my pocket so that way it just sounds a little better in the front of the stage.
Sure.
So then I put both of them into Premiere Pro.
Okay.
And if
I'm
right, like
that down. Keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Premiere Pro. That's interesting.
And,
okay.
Yeah, if there's like a specific note that I hit, or if I'm like, hey, what's going on? Like, if I say hey, like, in the middle of my set or something, I find it from the recording on my phone and from the camera, and I just, like, kind of, like, cut both of those pieces, and I just try to mesh it up.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, like, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I don't really, like, I don't go up on stage and I just do one of these.
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah,
I
yeah.
Could, but, like, I just try to find, like, a word that I said that, like, I mean, or, like, just a sound or something.
Right.
I don't know. And then I just try to, like, sync it up.
That's cool. That's a good way to do it, where
yeah.
you just some sort of loud, yeah, just some sort of a...
just like a click or someone coughs.
Yeah,
or
anything.
You
yeah.
just find something, and then you just got to have...
And then you just...
them both up, you know.
Yeah. Shit. All right, I'm going to have to... I'll be in touch, because
just
as far as... If you don't mind, I might want to just, through message, just pick your brain a little bit on how to do that, because
okay.
I think it's Tyler and I have talked quite a bit about it, just of how the hell to do that. But
of course.
That would be pretty cool. So
totally.
That's awesome. But well, your trip here was good?
Yeah.
From the Chicago?
Yeah, it was fine. It was a good
that's
time.
That's nice.
Just took a train up to Milwaukee and
yeah.
borrowed a car and then came
okay.
up here. So.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You're originally from Milwaukee, correct?
Yeah, born and raised.
Born and raised? Mm-hmm. All right. Johnny, you're now in the Los Angeles area?
I am. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
I was
back
gonna,
on the air.
Back in the air. All right. It's two for Tuesday. Actually, it's four for Friday. No.
I am in L.A.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And that's, I mean, going well.
It's going good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the adjustment period, figuring it out, but it's going well.
Yeah. Okay. So had to be a pretty tough decision, you and your wife. What did you come down to then, Crips or Bloods?
Crips.
Okay.
Crips.
Very good. Okay.
Which one's red?
Bloods.
Bloods.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, we're Bloods. I'm sorry.
Wouldn't that be decent? If
yeah. what are Crips? Is Crips blue?
Crips is blue, yeah.
Crips should be blue. Yeah.
You'd think they'd be like black, you know?
You'd think.
Blue's like, oh, the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Yeah, almost, yeah. kind in a way. But
yeah.
maybe they're the kinder of the two. I don't know. Sammy, it's your first time in Appleton, period, you said, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, welcome here. I don't know. I mean, I've lived here most of my life, so it's a nice city. It's a good town.
I could dig it. It's been nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not bad.
We had, what is it? I don't even know the place of the name of the diner.
Shriners.
Well, you can't
Shriners
go wrong.
Diner. Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah,
I bought a book bag at the factory store.
Oh, okay,
at the Jayport factory store.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
Get a lot of stuff done up here, you know.
It's yeah, nice. The my sister used to work at that. This was years ago, but she used to work at that the Jansport outlet store, the retail store.
Okay.
And the store that's there now, that's actually quite fancy from what it used to be. It used to be like this warehouse setting. It was really strange. But that was back quite some time ago. But yeah. But she would get like discounts of what was already there. So I mean, I've still got shirts that I like, you know, do yard work in that I've had for almost 15 years that she got me there. That I mean, they're just great T-shirts. But yeah, you know, 15 years later, I wouldn't want to throw away that $3 T-shirt she got me, which is just ridiculous. But oh well. So Chicago as well.
Chicago's well. Chicago's good.
That's cool.
It's a good time.
What what made you make the move?
I was just looking to immerse myself in a different scene.
That's cool.
You know, for the most part. And there's a lot more work down there in Chicago. Yeah. I mean, for me at least, as opposed to like Milwaukee. Like Milwaukee, I love.
Are you talking about like stage time or what do you mean?
Oh, stage work. Time.
Oh.
Stage time, you know, also like trying to get into clubs down there and whatnot.
Sure.
So like,
right.
I mean, in a sense, you know, some more club work as well. Some more work in general. You know?
That's nice. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I mean, I'd had the conversation, I guess, I think it was Allison Dunn, and she had sort of mentioned while making the move, but I was talking to Natalie Joes once as well that, I mean, you can kind of be on stage every day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty cool, regardless of sort of, you know, where it say, may be. But then it's just, you're just getting more time, you're getting more comfortable, you're getting different crowds, you're seeing how different crowds react, which then just helps you, which is so cool. I mean, I don't, Johnny and I were talking last night, I don't have that opportunity. I just don't at this point. I think this particular area is coming around to that, which is kind of neat. It's really cool to see. But it'd be badass to be able to, you know, get on stage six nights a week, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, and you had mentioned, Johnny, that Los Angeles now, just trying to, you yourself are working your way into then meeting different people, just sort of getting to know the scene more or less.
I'm just meeting comics and, you know, people that have rooms and
I'm
trying to get into, you know, the actual, you know, the clubs like the Improv, Laugh Factory and Comedy Store. But I mean, you know, there's tons of like restaurants and bars that have, you know, really well-produced shows that I'm just trying to get in the loop and get in the rotations.
That's cool. I guess it's whatever you have to do. Mm-hmm. That's just one of those things. But good to be back in Appleton, is it?
Of course.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, I wouldn't lie.
Real people. LA's great. Like, it is great, but there is that sense of, show business or the industry is always on your mind and in your face as everyone's doing something. Whereas when you're, you know, in the Midwest, it's, you're the novelty, you know, like.
That's so true.
There aren't billboards for everything. It's just entertainment. And, it's cool, but it's so in your face. It's so nice to just get away and be like, you know, that's right.
These people do
it. Yeah, movies and comedy isn't the end-all be-all to everyone.
That alone, I would have to think, was some bit of an adjustment of just the...
Yeah.
One, the population, but... And I guess we sort of talked about it before, but that's... I don't know, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's interesting to hear about. That's a fact.
Yeah.
What you guys been working on? What's been cooking? What's been going on?
Sammy.
Okay.
I'm going to eat cheese.
Go, man.
Right now I'm just looking... I'm very new to doing stand-up full-time.
Sure.
So I started back in January, and I'm starting to, like, figure out the whole emailing aspect, the whole, like, business side of this whole thing. So right now it's just a matter of just adjusting to it and figuring out, like, the next move and whatnot.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of just getting used to emailing a bunch of people and then almost always not hearing back.
And then following back up.
I'm sure
and then not hearing
back. I don't know
if
that changes at all, Johnny. I don't know.
No, it does not.
No, it doesn't? Okay. Well, it's good to know that it's just always going to be that way, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the trick, is like learning how to write that follow-up email without sounding like, hey, dipshit.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, hey, I was just thinking about you again since not hearing you in my last three emails.
Hope all is well. Just wanted to reach out and inquire about this weekend once more.
The same thing I asked about a week ago. It is a struggle, and I mean, I've talked to other, you know, folks about it. It's just that ongoing request, so to speak. And I mean, I guess it comes to a point also to where, you know, Sammy, you're doing it, you know, now full time. There's so many people out there vying for those spots,
right?
So to speak. But, you know, so then to then who gets them, of course, you sort of have to like set yourself apart a little bit. Your credits are helpful, things like that. But yeah, to keep grinding away at it, to then that be, and that's literally your full time job, is looking for that spot. It is what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's gotten to a point where it just seems like I'm emailing more than I am like writing or like doing anything that I should be doing for what I want to do. You know.
Yeah.
But it's cool because I don't have to set an alarm most days. So it's
pretty
nice.
It's not bad.
There it is.
Yeah.
Silver lining.
Payoff.
That's decent.
Yeah.
It is. And I will say, you know, I see over there, I got the day job, the main job, day job, what have you. When there is time off or weekends, it is glorious to not have that alarm. I mean, to just sort of be like on your own, your own clock. It's just,
I mean,
it's nice.
It's great, but it also, like, I don't like waking up at noon.
Yeah.
Like, I have a bad, like, it's just, like, that grows half of my day, you know?
I feel terrible. There was,
But
you get over that. You really do.
Yeah.
You can bypass
you
the guilt
through those first few months, and then it's just really easy.
It might just be my body adjusting to the fact that I have half a day now as opposed to a full day.
I just got to extend this day longer. No. That's all. I just got to move into tomorrow. That's good. Yes. Now, both of you left Milwaukee, and Milwaukee, you know, damn fine city indeed. I guess Sammy, you're close. I mean, you kind of miss it at all.
Sorry,
no, go ahead. No, I don't care. Actually, eating
our
on
wonderful
this
wonderful host has provided us with crackers.
No,
and
eating
cheese.
On this podcast, specifically cheese and crackers or whatever I have available, has become now almost a necessity.
It's your trademark.
It is, yeah. And it started, I can't remember who it started with, but Stu McAllister and Ben Bergman were here, and they were just floored by, oh my goodness, there's like snacks. It's like happy hour. This is great. maybe it started with Brian Miller. I can't remember. But like, Stu had eaten. He was eating cheese and crackers, and it just got to be repetitive just conversation, and I just said, no, this is actually pretty good. So then Mike Leibovitz and I did the exact same thing. I think I think I had like little donuts or something like that. It was just a little earlier in the day. But yeah, so anyway, carry on and eat, because it's like part of the
it's really good
part of the shtick, I guess. But anyway, what was this? Oh, Milwaukee. Yeah. Is there fondness still for Milwaukee, I'm sure, and sort of miss it?
No, totally. I mean, I guess I haven't really given myself time to miss it, because since I moved down to Chicago, like, I've been able to come up like maybe once or twice a month.
That's cool.
Each month, which is nice.
Yeah.
So, or like if I'm passing through, like I came into Milwaukee a day early just so I could, you know, go to a mic, see some old friends.
That's
and
nice.
Go right back up.
That's a good idea, actually. That's cool.
It's weird. Like when I was living in Milwaukee and I was on the road, I would get homesick a lot. I'd be like, I wish I was going back to Milwaukee. And then after I moved to Chicago, I don't really have that homesick feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I could see
that. Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess I really haven't been away from Milwaukee for more than a month at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if I, you know, end up,
if you really did sort of detach from it, and, you know, maybe even part of it, knowing that I'm going to be back in a month, or I'll be back in, you know, in a couple of weeks or something like that, versus, you know, having those 3-4 days sort of on the road, and then, oh, shit, I really want to go back. I just want to go home.
For sure.
Sort of speak. That sort of thing, to where now, you know, you're Your home is just somewhere else, just a different city, and that's just, maybe that's it. I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist.
I mean, I also moved in September, like right before holiday season, so I was coming back up for like Thanksgiving and like New Year's Eve and Christmas and yada yada.
Damn, okay.
So that's probably, you know.
Oh, that probably
helped.
That's
why I've been going up so often, because like holidays and also like shows or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm sure it'll slow down like after this month maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Huh. That's cool. That's interesting. You miss it, Johnny?
I do. I miss, I do. I miss it. I miss the cold.
Bullshit. That's crap.
I didn't know. I think that my wife would say she does not miss the cold at all. I mean, she probably misses Milwaukee a lot just because, you know, she grew up there. But, like, I do. I miss coming back. I don't know. I the cold never bothered me. And yeah, I wouldn't say miss the cold.
Right.
But, like, I don't feel like I won the lottery in L.A. with how warm it is.
Yeah.
It's nice, but... But yeah, I miss Milwaukee just because, you know, I was there so long and
yeah. Because actually, yeah, with you, it was college then as well. That's right, because you're at Marquette. So yeah, that's a long stretch. But then Sammy being somewhat, you're nearby. It's probably a little more
like
frequent where it's just popping in. But yeah. How did you guys meet? I mean, you worked together then in Milwaukee, is my guess.
A few times.
Yeah, where was the first time we met?
Was it at the Miramar show? I think the You Deserve It or something. There was a show.
Did we know each other when we did that TV public?
No.
Milwaukee Public Television.
No, I don't think we knew each other formally.
Like, yeah, that was probably the first time we met.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no idea when that was. that was. We were on TV together, and we crossed paths.
Well, of course, we met each other in the PBS green room. I'm sure that was. Yes. But no, I guess, you know, if you work together a couple of times, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's nice to sort of then. How did you guys lock horns then to get here this weekend together? Was it just
Samara?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we were trying to coordinate,
really,
or she was trying to coordinate between the two of us, someone that could drive me from the Milwaukee airport here.
Oh yeah, okay.
But I just rented a car because I'm.
Because it's you. It's your thing. Well, you came in a day early anyway, though, you had said, right?
Yeah, that was the thing, is I thought I would have radio, and I was like, well, I'm not going to drag him out a day early. So
that would make you
feel
better.
Plus, I'm leaving Saturday after the late show, because I have family in Milwaukee, so I'm going to get back there Saturday after the shows.
That's cool. That's nice.
Yeah.
Sammy, who do you like working with?
Who do I like working with?
Yeah.
Johnny?
Of course, that's
a trick
dunk
question. Yeah.
I don't know what the prize is, but
the prize is you don't get fired this week.
You get to stay till Saturday.
Like, I'm not going to spread rumors about you to Cliff.
Great.
I think Sammy's pooping in the shower at the condo. I don't...
You're going to want to check that out. I think the shower's clogged, actually. You're going to need a shower plunger.
Yeah,
there's some serious damage in there. I guess what was I saying? Oh, the folks you've worked with through Milwaukee through all these years, you've got a lot of interesting people that you've worked with that are also sort of, say, in a sense, sort of like spreading wings, which is because the Milwaukee scene has been thriving now for quite a few years.
Yeah, no, I love a lot of the homies in Milwaukee. Like there's Chris Schmidt, really working with him.
Yep.
Ryan Lowe, of course. Yep. I don't work with him very often, but every time we do, it's always a good time, you know.
It's cool.
Chris Schmidt, Ryan Lowe, you know, Josh Blue, Allison Dunn, Lesiner.
Yep.
So a lot of the Milwaukee people I really enjoy. That's also why I like coming back up like a day before anything if I'm like passing through.
Right.
Just so I could just see all the homies again. You
That's
know,
decent.
An open mic.
Well, and it's good to, you know, I guess sort of just stay in touch. I mean, plus, you know, it's like old stomping ground. I mean, you can do some time.
Yeah.
You can check people out. You can see what's new, see what has maybe changed or not changed, and, you know, get to take in the good old staples, what have you.
No, of course. Yeah. I mean, like coming back after like being away from an open mic in Milwaukee for a couple of months, there's just like a lot of new comics.
Yeah.
Not new per se, but like new to the scene.
Right.
So it was just cool seeing just like a bunch of like different people or just a lot more people coming out to the open mics, which is nice.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Bremen open mic on Monday?
I have not. That one I have not been to.
Okay, well, that really took off like this past year, which is nice because what Bremen did was they put the comedy open mic before the music mic.
Oh.
But people would hang out before the music mic, and then it got to a point where people were aware that the comedy mic was happening. So it would be the room would be full of comics, but it would be there would be just a bunch of people spectating.
Wow, okay.
Which is awesome. So like Monday night at Bremen feels like a showcase, which is real nice.
That's awesome.
You know, so
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Did you say you did a show Wednesday this week in Milwaukee before coming up here?
Yeah, no? we hosted an open mic at Karma, and then shortly after we hosted one at Hybrid Lounge.
Oh, okay, cool.
I got an invite to that, and that one I couldn't make up. Oh, but sure. Yeah, that would have been neat.
Huh.
Yeah. I saw there's one Saturday that I was on the fence about. I kind of got some plans, but I could get out of it. I don't know. But no. I don't know. I'll have to rethink that.
Down to Milwaukee?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I like going down there just if I can.
Have you done the Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee?
I have not. I had it lined up twice. No. And then Samara changed it once. And then I was verifying that I was sort of like, just give me till like the end of whatever tomorrow.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I was like, okay. And it wasn't gonna work with like the kids and whatever. So yeah, it's been twice now. They were both times were last year and I was bummed. And then just the dates I've been communicating with her now, I'm kinda waiting to hear back on I should have something there this summer and I'm hoping then again the fall. So
cool.
Yeah, because I've wanted to do that for quite a while.
For sure.
And now it looks like it's gonna actually happen, which would be pretty cool. So I've been there to see shows. Actually I've been there. I haven't been there with the new room since they changed it.
Either.
Okay. I was talking to Tracy Schrader about that, and she hosted there shortly after the renovation or the change in the new room, and she said it's really cool. She said she really liked it. So I haven't seen it. So
do you have an idea of what it looks like at all?
Nope.
It's very very wide. Very
okay.
Short, very wide.
That's she. Tracy had said narrow but long. So just. In a sense,
yeah,
I guess.
Like,
I don't know.
The stage is here, and then, like, you know, it's very short this way.
Okay.
Like, how many rows deep before you hit the mirror in front of you?
There's, like, four or five rows of just seats, and then behind it is just, like, a bunch of, like, tall tables.
Oh, okay.
On the right, there's, you know, about, like, four or five rows of seats, and then there's, like, I think two or three rows of tables as well.
Because
it extends more this way than it does this way.
Like the
stage isn't right here. It's like right here, and there's more people here than there are here.
Okay.
You think it holds more or less than the old room?
I think more. It's really hard to tell. Because
like, from the stage, it kind of works then, like, it works a little more left to right.
Yeah.
From the stage versus depth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess is what I'm envisioning. So, interesting.
I think it might hold the same amount of people. I'm not sure. Huh. I mean, I always had a hard time gauging it because both, like, the old and new just have a bunch of mirrors everywhere. So it makes the room look bigger.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure how many people it holds. But I did a guest spot for their Thanksgiving show, and it was pretty full. So
that's cool.
I mean, it felt
cool.
It was packed.
Right,
it's good.
That's cool.
You know, they could seat a lot of people. Didn't really keep a head count at all, but it's a good amount. Good turnout.
That's decent. Yeah, I'm really anxious to kind of check that out. I would like to see. I should just go and see a show or ask for a just do a spot.
Yeah.
Especially now with the change, it would be nice. So yeah. But Sammy, how did you get started? How did you sort of kick things off doing stand up? If that's a fair question.
Oh no, it's totally cool. I started doing stand up when I was 19.
Okay.
So in high school I took this short story writing class, whatever.
Yeah.
So every day you had to write a short story, and at the board there would just be like a topic you just have to like write about or just include it in your story. So I used to write a bunch of like short stories, and I would just try to make them humorous. I was a big, because at the time I wanted to get into like film. I wanted to go to college for film.
Sure.
And I wanted to get into like video production, just do like sketches and short stories and, short films and whatever. And then Twitter became a real, real big thing around that time.
Yeah.
And then I started writing jokes on there. And I was just doing it for a while, and my friends were just like, you should, give it a shot. You should try doing the stand-up thing. And at the time, I was like, I don't even know if I could do the stand-up thing, because these are just short stories. I can't, Like, these are just, like, you know, 140 characters each. I don't know. Like, there's no segues between any of these. And then, you know, I started watching, like, Dimitri Martin and Stephen Wright and, you know, Zach Galifianakis. And I was like, oh, I guess it's just, it's arbitrary. So, like, I mean, not arbitrary per se, but, like, they don't really, like, hold on to the idea of, like, having any segues in between it. So, yeah. So, me and my friends, we just went to an open mic, and then it's just, that was it. So,
which open mic was it?
It was the Comedy Cafe open mic, actually.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
actually,
cool.
You know what? No, it was the Miramar open mic. And it was the Miramar open mic, and this was, like, back in September 2010. And it felt, I bombed really bad. I bombed. No one laughed at anything. And then after that happened, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. This sucks.
Sure.
So then it was, like, literally a year until I did it again, which was September 2011.
Wow, okay.
You know, at the Comedy Cafe. But in between that year, I was just writing more on Twitter, and then I was just holding on to it, and I was, like, figuring out how to write a joke and whatnot. So then at the Comedy Cafe, when I did the open mic, there was we were doing the open mic competition.
Okay,
and there was, like, two black guys that went up before me. And then I went up after those two guys, and my first joke was, hello, my name is Sammy, and I'm going to be the third black performer for the night. And crowd loved it. It was awesome. And then I went into my set. But, like, getting a laugh from that was, like, super dope. It was a real good feeling.
Oh,
and
then
I just kept trying to ride it, you know? So that's when I was like, okay,
chasing
now.
The dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it is. That's exactly it. That's exactly
like, now I'm on board. Like, now I want to do this.
All right, now so, this is for real. Yeah. Okay, now I get it. But no, there is that. I mentioned it a lot. There is that sort of aha moment. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but, you know, it is that. It is. Then you just, Johnny's it. I mean, you do. You just chase a dragon. You want that back.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then when it happens, then when it happens again, it's like, oh, that felt lovely. And yeah. I want that again.
For sure.
Yeah. How I get both of you. What's the process of writing for you? Because like it differs for a lot of people. You know, is there just set time that you set aside and just dictate yourself to then write? Or is it more, say, observational to where it's just jotting down notes of things that come through your head and then plowing through it at a different time?
I think, well, for me, it's like a combination. I need to be more disciplined of, like, sitting down and writing. But majority of it is, you know, observation or something that strikes me as funny that I'll put in my, you know, notes or phone or remember. And then I just walk around talking to myself, kind of working it out.
Yeah.
And then try it on stage and see if it works.
If it doesn't work, it's the audience's fault.
Yes.
It's always their fault. This is a damn good joke I wrote about yogurt. You pricks.
Yeah, it depends on how stubborn I want to be, like how much I think the audience is wrong depends on how many times I'll try it before being like, yeah, okay. They're wrong. They're right. I'm wrong.
I've been talking about this has come up a number of times. Where how long do you hold on to that bag of shit? I mean, sometimes it's what it feels like, and there's sometimes you know, God, I've got one that I've buried, and I thought it was decent. I'm not doing it anymore. It's not getting the response I wanted, and it's when you think about it, and you listen back because you try to record every set, so on and so forth. Yeah, that's not their fault. That's me. It just doesn't hit. Or, you know, it's so pocket demographic that it's just not going to hold.
The worst is when you, like, get an idea for a joke and you're just like, this is a sure thing. This is one of those just aha moments. This is going to kill.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this is going to be great. And then, like, it's a good crowd, and you're like, oh, here it comes. And then you do it, and it's just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. No,
and then it's just like, it's just inexplainable. You're like, I guess I don't know.
I guess I was wrong. Yeah, it's like, I have jokes like that where I have so much faith in it. And every time I do it, it's like, this will be the time that it turns around. Never works, you know? I have a few jokes that are like that, you know? It's.
Yeah, I've had a couple that I just, there's just so much hope. It's almost like I've got, you saw, I got my son and I got kids. Anyway, it's like a child. Like, you don't want to see it fail. You know? it's like part of you. It's like, well, if that fails, I fail.
I made this.
Right? Yeah. I made that yogurt joke, and you're not liking it. So fuck it. I guess ditch it, whatever. It's what you got to do.
But they say that they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And it's like that's the definition of a comedian trying a joke that doesn't work. Whereas it's like, no, this time, this time for no reason at all, it's going to all of a sudden start working.
Yeah,
all this bureaucratic red tape of nobody liking it. Today's the day.
I feel like there's like jokes where it's just, I mean, for me at least, it would just be like, I'm just going to put it on the back burner for a couple of months or something.
Yeah. And sometimes that works.
And sometimes that's a cool idea. I mean, it's a great idea, one thing, but sometimes it works.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works. You know,
I did a show called Late Late Breakfast.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And they do a part in the show called Do Your Worst.
Okay.
And they bring up a comic. Like, they pick the comic and they're like, just compile like a 5-minute set of jokes that have never worked.
Okay.
You know, and we're just gonna watch you bomb for 5 minutes. Like, that's the whole, like,
it's a great
whole concept.
But it's like people that they
it's a decent idea.
Like people that, like, they're like, this person we think is great. We're a big fan of this person, but we're gonna see him do his worst. So give it up for sure. And these are jokes I haven't told in like so long, but I was like, I wasn't nervous, but I was like, I just know that these aren't going to work. But like, there are a few jokes that like for sure never worked. But when I did it, I was like, oh, I got like a good laugh out of like half of these. And then I was like, I think they're just like laughing because I'm not doing well. And then I took those jokes and I did like a showcase like the day after and they worked. And I was like, oh, I guess they work now. You know? And it's like, why weren't you working when I needed you?
Crap show.
Like back when I didn't have 7 minutes, why didn't you work then? You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But do you, Sammy? Do you actually sit down and like force yourself to write?
I have a hard, you know. I think you and I have like a similar writing process because I mean, I can't really bring myself to sit down and write. Just like sit and just write for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like so, like I'll like if I see something funny or if I think of something funny, I'll text myself it. I'll text myself the idea or just like a quote or something.
Yeah.
And I'll go home. And I'll just like write those like on a notepad or something, and I try to think of like a setup or like a premise or whatever. And with a punchline, sometimes I'll just go to an open mic without a punchline, and then I just try to like put some pressure on myself to like come up with a punchline on the spot.
Wow. Okay. So it's
so
like it's like a premise more or less that you're just sort of talking.
So like I have an idea of where I want to go with the joke, but like there really isn't like a set punchline.
Yeah.
So like I try. To like put, you know, I try to like come up with a punchline on the spot, but if it doesn't work, then I just take it home and then just think about what I said as a punchline and then maybe write around that.
Huh.
You know,
that's a pretty good idea. I mean, that's a really interesting idea, actually. Huh. That's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't do it at like a showcase or anything. I would do it like an open mic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I got, it's probably, good call. I would.
And
I
feel like that just like gets my mind moving a little faster than sitting down and like just trying to like not be distracted by.
Yeah.
You know, the internet.
That's what I've come into. I used to sit, I really just sort of, I shouldn't use the word sit. I mean, I would do things, but, you know, I was in the process or what I would quote unquote say of writing through what, so throughout the week, I'll just like take notes on my phone or on paper, whatever. And then, all right, yeah, that was a really funny idea. God, this is going to be good. And then the more you think about it, sometimes it works and sometimes it's crap, you know. But I was doing that once a week. It was always Sundays.
Yeah.
And now it's sort of tapered off a little bit, which neither here nor there. But I should be a little more, I guess I should be a little more on myself to just hold myself accountable to do that. But there again, I guess it comes with time. You know, it's if it's there, you've got it. If it isn't, then you're kind of in a rough spot. But what was your you had a day job then, or a different job that then you just went to do stand up full time, Sammy?
Yeah, when I moved to Chicago, I had to find a job right away.
Yeah,
So I got hired at this cafe in Chicago.
Nice. Okay.
So I was there for a little bit, and I was there like almost every day. Because, you know, I didn't really have much on my schedule as soon as I got to Chicago. So I was there for a while. And then it got to a point where I was requesting off a bunch for shows. And then I would, like, boil down to, like, 2 or 3 days a week.
Oh,
and that's when I started feeling weird at work. because I felt the sense where it's like, you know, they probably want me here more often than not. Right. And it got to a point where I thought if there's a reason for them to fire me, they're probably going to do it.
Yeah.
So like I missed two buses during like my 3 months being there. And okay. After the second time I missed my bus, they were like, "Hey, you were late for work, so it doesn't seem like you're improving on it. So we're gonna let you go." When that happened, it was a bummer when I lost my job.
Sure.
Because I went to work the day that the day after Christmas, they removed my shift.
Oh.
And what I assumed was like the day, but like on Christmas Day, I was like, "Oh, cool. It's a Christmas miracle, and I have to work tomorrow." You know, and what I assumed was like it probably wasn't busy because it's
that's great.
It was a cafe connected to a hotel.
Okay,
and my assumption was, oh, you know what? I was like an extra person that was supposed to work, and you know they probably weren't as busy as they expected it, so they probably just removed me because they don't need three people on like. Just working, like making coffee, you know.
If it's day after Christmas, it makes some sense, I guess. But yeah.
But then shortly after, I was like, "What if I got fired?" And then I was like joking around about it. And then when I went to work to pick up my tips, one of the managers sat me down and told me that.
Told you it was not a Christmas miracle.
No. So thank you for still coming in. Here's your tips and your last paycheck. You're done.
Yeah. Oh damn.
But it was a bummer, and then. Because I needed the tips just to get to a show that I was doing that night. So I like went down to get tips. I loaded up my Venture card, and then I went to a show. But on the train, I was like super bummed out.
Yeah.
And I did a show that night, and I had a really good set. I had a good time. And then that was kind of also what inspired me to like just try to do it full time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because like, if I had just not had that show, I would have just stayed at home and probably been like filling out applications at like Costco or something.
I don't know. Yeah. Which, I mean... So. Well, I mean, I'd push you over the edge, I guess, or you know, whatever term you want to use, whatever. Yeah. But that's interesting. Hmm. But so far, so good. I mean,
looking back at it right now, it seemed like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Where it's like they helped me, like, they had me floating in Chicago for a little bit. Like, I was able to pay rent for the first 2 months before I had anything under my belt.
Yeah.
And then after that happened, like, now I'm able to, like, pay rent just by... you know, doing clubs and whatnot.
That's cool. That's good.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I know. I find it difficult to sort of balance the two, like the day of the show for me. So like, or even an open mic, that's where like I'll just like blow off steam or like, you know, if Cliff lets me do a set and it's been, you know, a grind of, you know, the day job week. It's just, that's like the best for me. Yeah. I mean, it's just unloading all that garbage that's in your brain of all this other crap you've dealt with.
Yeah.
Going back to then the thing that you really enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And then just unloading it all. And then of course sucking back all the crap again later. But,
of course.
But oh well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. any upcoming stuff both of you guys got? I mean, it's kind of big. Actually, you got a couple of things, don't you? Yeah.
Not around here.
No, right. You're talking
well,
the other night.
Week
you
I'm
got
doing the Punchline in San Francisco, and then I have the Slow Festival in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
That'll be nice.
That'll be cool.
And then I think after that, I'm in San Diego at the Madhouse Comedy Club.
Okay.
And
have you been there before?
I've been there once before.
Hey, okay.
Did a supply and demand show.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
And actually, I'm doing that same show. I'm there Sunday, so I fly back Sunday into L.A. and then I got to get in my car and go to San Diego.
What's that? What's the drive L.A. to San Diego? I guess I've never.
I don't know. I thought it was two, but it's not.
Okay.
I think it's closer to three. I don't know.
Okay. I can't remember. I've had people tell me what it is, and I've been to San Diego, but I never went north to L.A. at all. I went to Tijuana, but that was
there. You go.
That was
cool.
Nah, it wasn't that great.
All right.
I mean, it just wasn't. It wasn't.
I'm sorry, you didn't ever get time.
Sorry.
No, it just wasn't. It was just very strange because so you're there in San Diego like vacationing. So it's like, oh, let's just. I was with Buddy, and actually, it was Super Bowl 32. It was quite frankly, what it actually was.
Okay.
So this is all before 9/11, to where you could just take the train over the border, and it was fantastic. It was a nice trip, but yeah, it was not what I expected. So it's okay.
Huh.
Yeah, you get by. But, yeah.
Well,
but again, it's Tijuana.
Here
I'm here. I lived to tell the tale.
Yes.
Is what happened. So, yeah. Yeah. Tammy, you got anything that's a brew here for the remainder of the year? Which
yeah,
is long.
Okay, we'll start with March. Well, next weekend I'm doing the Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
And then a week after I'm doing Green Gravel Comedy Festival.
Okay.
In Iowa City.
Nice. Okay.
And then after that I'm doing the Comedy Corner Underground in Minneapolis.
Okay, now there I haven't heard of that place. Hmm. That's
it's a good time.
That's
yeah,
cool.
It's underneath a corner bar.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
So it's a bar, and then their basement is just a comedy club.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's places, you know, I've seen, been to, I haven't performed at, but there's a lot of places I haven't. I mean, I haven't. The name is brand new to me, you know, which is kind of cool. So I try to keep, like, you know, that in my brain of, like, oh, you got to remember that, because it'd be something to just, you know, go take a look at, which would be good. So, yeah, that's just my life, I guess. It's boring as hell at times. anything on stage you guys don't like? I guess there's some people that. Well, specifically, just I don't want to talk about politics, just because, like, they're not into it, or it's just not my thing. But, you know, talking about my wiener, that's right up my alley.
I will talk about my wiener. I like to keep my wiener whole. That's, like, personal, so I don't talk about that on the stage. But the wiener itself, I'll bring up.
The overall wiener experience, that's a nice topic.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong. That's a slam dunk every time.
Right. And Sammy, do you have any?
Well, I don't usually talk about wieners, so that's where it sets us apart, I think, is that you like to talk about the wiener. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the wiener talk, and then you get the, everything else.
Yeah.
Which is
I love talking about politics.
Show.
I love talking about, you know, I'm kidding. No. yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't really follow a lot of politics or whatever really is happening in the news currently, so I don't really worry. Like, I don't have a lot to talk about as far as, like, current events or politics at all. I don't really talk much about my personal life, per se. Like, a lot of my jokes tend to just be about just very mundane things, like rat poison and the Cheesecake Factory or something like that.
Which
know?
The rat poison, that was such, that was a, I, you, last night, I really enjoyed that. That was decent because it's so very
good
true.
Joke,
it's like,
yeah.
why didn't it just be called poison?
Actually,
it's a very valid point. It's like, goddamn rat poison, that sounds terrible.
Hey, so you said grapes, dogs aren't supposed to, someone just told me that dogs aren't supposed to eat grapes.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
My dog eats grapes.
Yeah? I don't think it's
You let Batman eat grapes?
Like, they said that it's the skin that their stomach can't digest.
Yeah.
Really?
So I don't think it, like, hurts them, but it's just, like...
It just probably comes out like corn comes out of us.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, thinking about that joke now, there's, like, a lot of plot holes in that joke. I did the joke in, I forget where it is, just like a small little town like outside of Madison.
Okay.
And it was an older crowd. And I told that joke and I was like, rat poison, they should just call it regular poison. If you can't call it that, if it's going to kill everybody. And a lady like piped up and she raised her hand and I was like, all right, I guess we'll take a question. And
Q&A.
And she goes, actually, rat poison doesn't kill you if you take it. We used to take it back way back when. And it would just, like, thin the blood out. And there was, like, a reason to it. I don't know why.
Okay.
So it's, like, I don't know why they took it. Like, but, like, it was a remedy for something where it would just make your blood thinner.
Okay.
And I was like, all right.
I've never heard of this, but, like.
Yeah, me neither. So
I think more people have seen the movie 9 to 5 than this story. So I think you're safe doing the bit.
So then, afterwards, yeah.
So like a Dolly Parton classic, no less. But
a little after, like for a month, I was like, I really hope people don't pipe up. Like every time, like I was like doing a show where it's like an older crowd, I'm like, I hope no one else thinks that. That's not. Hope someone else doesn't raise their hand or whatever.
And fact checker.
Yeah. And then I had a friend tell me, you know, Jenna Gephardt, right?
Yeah, I know the name. Yeah. We've never met, but yeah.
Madison Comics, she moved to Chicago as well.
Okay.
But she came up to me after a show one time, and she was like, you know, I was thinking about your rat poison joke the other day, and I looked into it, and you say avocado's bad for a dog, but it's not bad for a dog at all.
And my dog eats that, too. I was wondering when you said that.
Yeah. I guess, like, if anything, like, if a dog eats too much of it, it'll, like, induce vomiting within the dog.
And avocados will?
Yeah.
Huh. What? Because I was thinking about that when you had mentioned that, and now bring it back. What the hell's wrong with an avocado to a dog? I can't think of anything.
I don't know.
The chocolate thing I could see, like, based on, the cocoa and the sugar, I could see that, to where, like, an animal's body probably wouldn't handle it as well. But the grapes thing, that I've never heard of either. But, yeah, would it just poop raisins then? If it's just the skin?
I'll do some experiments.
Please get Johnny Beaner in the R&D department of dogs and grapes. For gonna
keep an eye.
The entire Beaner family will be walking around checking dog stools.
I'll give you an update. Yep, my dog's dead. Stay away from grapes.
Grapes are bad. Yep. These were the grapes of wrath, in fact. I don't. You've got two cats and a dog?
You know what? I have a dog. I was successful. I still talk about having the cats on stage. But, we got rid of them.
Okay.
I mean, we gave them happy homes.
They're well and good.
We found a family that has a bunch of other cats.
Yeah.
And they, you know, we did a test thing, and the cat's whatever. So that cat's fine. And then the other cat we gave to my mother-in-law before we
that's cool.
came to L.A. And I think I was more excited to get rid of the cat than I was to move to LA. It's beautiful.
I've always thought like a dog was just to me, and this is just me personally. Nothing against dogs. I've never been a dog guy, but it's just a lot of responsibility.
Are you a cat guy?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I've got a cat. She's in the back. I've had her for years. But, like when people come over, she's real friendly. Like to begin with, like, oh hey, who are you? And then she gets like real crabby and pissy and just like, what the hell are you doing here? Get out of here. And then it's just meh, meh, meh. So whenever I have people come over, I just put her in the back room there.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But I don't know, cats seem to be a little easier to maintain. I mean, they kind of take care of themselves to a sense, but
yeah, they're a lot easier.
Yeah. I always thought like a dog, I guess a buddy of mine got a dog to just like take up exercise because he knew the dog would have to walk. So he'd like walk and run with the dog, which I thought was a bullshit excuse to get a dog. I'm guessing his wife talked him into it. It's just my thought, but
that's a good motivation in theory. We have a dog, and it's just really fat because I don't walk it. A pug, and he is overweight.
Yeah, pugs are good dogs. I'm not even a dog person, but I mean, I've heard.
No, he's got a very good disposition.
Batman,
but every
correct?
Time Batman, yeah. Yeah. Every time I take him for a walk, everyone, because there's so many dog people in LA, you're going to run into everyone's like, oh my, that's a big pug.
He's a behemoth.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Oh. He has a lazy owner. No, what it is that our two kids, he won't even eat, like I'll put out his food, he doesn't even eat it. It's like he's not eating his food, and he's overweight, and it's because he just eats the kids. The kids just throw food
on
the floor all day long. All
right.
So he's fat and probably super unhealthy. That's how he gets the grapes.
Yeah.
He's going graping, and then, he's gonna have an upset stomach because of the grapes. But, all the other foods that land on the floor, they're fine for him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like your Cheetos.
I'm not feeding my children Cheetos quite yet.
How old are they?
3 and 18 months.
The boy's pretty young yet. So
yeah.
Cheetos, it's a little early.
A little early for Cheetos.
Yeah. Think you can handle this,
boy?
We're
saving that for the fourth birthday.
Right, that'll be the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never grew up with dogs. I don't know. I just, not to go back to dogs, but I don't know. It was just one of those things that I never really hooked on to. But Sammy, born and raised in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Okay. Your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Born and raised.
Let's see. You, and your parents are still there?
Yeah.
Or family, what have you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. What was it like growing up? And like, whereabouts did you grow up?
South side of Milwaukee.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Walker's Point area, Bayview area.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, it was a good time.
Yeah.
You know, that's just where I've been for the past 23 years, you know? So, I don't know. Growing up, it was cool. Like, I mean, leaving Milwaukee was also, like, a bummer, too, because it's like, oh, all the friends and family that I have are just here in Milwaukee, so I got to dip out, you know?
Yeah.
But, no, I loved it. I love Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's decent. Yeah, no, I really enjoy it myself. It's nice. I like it. What you don't really touch on. What trips your trigger to talk about on stage? Get you excited.
What's that?
What really gets you excited to talk about on stage?
What gets me excited about talk? Okay.
I mean, like, any particular topics. You sort of have a broad range of just...
Yeah, just like stuff that anything. Has... Yeah. I think it's just a matter of, like, writing a joke that doesn't involve, like, a specific, like a pop culture reference or, like, just, like, as like, mundane as I could make it would be.
Yeah.
Like, that's what excites me about...
That's cool.
You know... About stand-up is like if I could just like try to like make a joke about I don't know a can of cherry Pepsi,
right?
And
which
that's it, you know.
That's a good endorsement too. Actually, I like that. That was a smooth move.
I'll be expecting a cherry Pepsi joke at tonight's show.
Yeah, damn right.
You guys ever have a cherry Pepsi? Make some noise if you had one. I'll try to think of one now.
Johnny in the back. Johnny, yeah,
you were there. You know I had one.
Why did you ask? You saw me drink one.
You and your drones always watching me. Such a pretty
yeah. I don't know. I guess it's a pretty big question for me. I don't think I've ever. I don't know, Johnny. What was?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean. Anything that just really, like, what if I discover something that really connects with the audience, you know, that a lot of people can relate to,
yeah,
I get excited. Like, you know, anytime a new joke goes really well, that's that. I mean, that can make my month, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, there. See, I'm taking a photograph.
Do I need to be closer?
Yeah. There. Okay. That's heavy endorsement. That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if anything, like, what excites me about performing is if I just do, like, some real, like do a joke which seems like you're kind of reaching.
Yeah.
Like, where it's just, like, a very off-color joke. Like, a very, or, like, if I'm riffing and I'm just being real, like, silly or just kind of,
sure.
Like, and it works. If it works, then that excites me. And then I just go into stuff that doesn't usually work, but, like, works with a specific crowd.
Okay.
You know? Like, I have a few jokes that really only work in, like, I guess alt rooms, I guess you would say.
Sure.
Yep. But if I do a show where it's like I'm surprised that like people really enjoyed a joke where like my payday joke.
Yeah.
Like sometimes like between when I say nothing but net, like I don't know like why I started doing it that way, but like sometimes I'll just like kind of like let it ride. Like I don't say nothing but net for like maybe like 20, 30 seconds. And then as soon as I say it, like I've had cases where people just like blow up at the joke.
Yeah.
And that's like something that I also try to do at the beginning of like my sets too, just to see like people laugh at it. And if they laugh at it, then that excites me because it's like, okay, cool. I can just do a bunch of weird shit now.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, plus with that, like that specific setup, if you've got them with that, you're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
Because you've then read the crowd, I guess in a sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, sometimes they're so hard to read. You know, you really don't. That's just the sump pump. I'm sorry.
Oh,
it keeps
good.
Going off.
It's not your house falling apart?
No, not yet. No, but the weather got warmer, and then I don't know what the drainage here is. Oh, it's homeowner problems. Enough of that. But back to what you were saying, I guess. It's just, it's nice to then see, oh, I got him on this, to where then the rest of it's, I mean, you just let it ride,
yeah.
I guess, at that point. But, damn. Have you done any festivals? You've mentioned... The one that you're to do.
I've done a few. I've this January I did Riot LA.
Oh, okay.
So I did that. That was a good time.
I'd be all right.
And then over the past year, I did Limestone.
Okay.
And the High Plains Comedy Festival and, you know, the Milwaukee Comedy Festival
right.
as well.
Sure.
So, yeah, I've done a few. Done a
That's nice.
Amount. Yeah.
That's it. Because I have not, but it's, I want to. And it's just, I want to give it a try. You know, what
it's
the
good
hell?
Time.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I guess just, even if it's just like a camaraderie networking thing, I think it'd be fun. I mean,
yeah.
just to check out these other shows, but. Plus, it's a completely different audience.
For
you
sure,
know, they're there, you know, for the said festival.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they're good opportunities just to hang with other comics because we only get to see, you know,
yeah.
one or two at a time per weekend. You know,
yeah, that's the neat thing is to then just catch up with.
Yeah, that was also why I sold my car last year because I knew I was going to be moving to Chicago.
Okay.
Last year, like I didn't know when, but I knew I was going to move. But I also wanted to. I sold my car, and I was going to hold on to it.
Sure.
I was going to hold on to the money just so when I move, I'd have, like, something to,
sure.
like, a little bit of a buffer.
Right.
But then I just started, like, just applying to a bunch of festivals, and my car money just funded the entire time on the road.
Yeah.
Which was nice. So I got to do, like, a bunch of festivals, and it's always a good time. I don't know. I'm a big fan of doing festivals, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to get paid, per se, to do it, but, like, you're seeing people that you've worked with before, and, you know, you're meeting new people and just doing stuff. Everywhere and it's pretty
yeah.
dope, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Like Orlando, I went to for the Orlando Indie Festival. That was probably one of my favorite festivals over the past year doing it.
Okay.
And I've been there before, and I didn't really have that much of an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Because it was before I was doing like comedy or whatever, and then going back to it, I was like, oh, this is pretty dope, you know. So Orlando's pretty cool. Orlando's got my approval, I guess, as far as, like, a city itself.
That's cool.
So, yeah,
that's
no,
nice.
For sure. So instead of, like, saving my money, I just, like, blew it all on just, like, traveling, which was nice.
That's
which,
cool.
Which, yeah, I mean.
Well, you know, it's better than, yeah, I don't know, some,
yeah.
sort of, you know, heroin. I don't know.
Oh, no, for like sure, totally.
Whoa, back up.
Yeah, wait.
Hang on a minute.
Oh, that's where my, yeah.
Or for socks or something like that, you know. I don't know.
So I mean, looking back now, like I didn't mind the money that I spent just to, like stay on the road, but like it, at the time when I was like looking for a job when I moved to Chicago, I was like I shouldn't have done that, you know. I
yeah.
should have, you know, but you know that was only like 3 months.
Well, that's,
yeah.
<what?
laughs> So, but like I got to a point
like you said, it was only 3 months. Like,
yeah.
Well, still, you got to do it. I don't know.
No, I'm talking about like working at the cafe.
Oh, the cafe.
Yeah.
Yes,
so like
I'm sorry.
I was like, oh man. It was awful, like just having to find a job right away because it's like I can't pay rent until
right.
I get a job.
Right.
So, yeah. No, but looking back now, it's like I'm happy that I spent most of that money just staying on the road for most of the year.
Yeah.
So it was a good time.
And selling the car thing, that's got to be, in a way,
yeah.
it's got to be.
I mean, it wasn't a nice car. I mean, it was,
oh, yeah.
but it wasn't. It was like a 97 Wrangler.
Well, that's
and
right.
I love driving it.
Right.
You know, I would take the top off, drive around. It was a good time. But, like, I only got, like, 19 miles highway.
Yeah.
So if I went anywhere in that car, like, I wouldn't even break even if I was, like, because, you know, if I was doing, like a one-night or somewhere.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't make enough money to go back.
Right.
I mean, I could have, but, like, you know, I'd be spending money.
Yeah.
Losing money.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So at the, I mean, at the end of it, that's a pretty good call. I was just thinking, it just crossed my mind of, I had to be somewhat, I guess in a way, liberating, but it also had to be kind of hard to let go because now it's, oh no, transportation is my shoes or the bus. And that's,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's just how it works and that's okay.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, you're then on the hook to rent a car to then go to a whatever location. But
right.
Yeah.
I mean, I have an easier time not having a car in Chicago than it did in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Even though, like, Milwaukee's smaller, but, like, the public transit it was not very good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
it's really good in Chicago, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best.
That's what
I
heard.
They have a grid system, and it gets you everywhere, and it's a good time.
But, that's cool.
Yeah. But in Milwaukee, like, all the buses zigzag, you know? Like, for me, if I wanted to take a bus to, like, Frank's power plant or something from, like, in Bayview from the south side, I would have to take one bus all the way downtown to the Green Line, and then go, you know,
okay,
go up KK, get there.
It's like this long enduring chore just to get where you want to be. Which...
And like Uber would like, and Ubers were pretty cheap,
yeah,
you know. So it's like, you know, I'll just do that.
Uber's actually caught on fairly well here, actually.
Here in Appleton?
Yeah.
Oh, there's Uber here?
Between Appleton and Green Bay. Yeah,
but yeah, they have the promo cards on the tables at the club.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. It's
Did it just start?
It's under a year, but okay, it's got to be coming in on a year.
That's
it's got
to
be getting close. Yeah, it's got to be getting close. Because I was working at the club one night, and my lady, Tina, she just caught the early show. I can't remember how this all went down. But she came with a friend, and then she's like, oh, Pam's her friend. The kid is sick or something. And how the hell am I going to get home? I said, well, you could stay for the late show. She goes, I just want to go home. And I'm, at this point, just may as well get home. And I said, well, you can use the Uber promo.
Use the Uber.
And she's like, well, how does that work? And I said, well, here's how it works. Because I used Uber. I've used it twice in Boston. And I like the setup. I think it's pretty cool. But yeah, here locally, I guess it's caught on. So
it's $7.
Yeah.
No, usually, so I like use it all the time in LA.
What's that?
I use it all the time. I like to go to the airport.
Oh, yeah.
I always take it.
Well, yeah, I have to figure it's got a cab would be, which is interesting because I mean they're gonna really kind of bury
it.
They're gonna kind of bury the cab system, which is pretty interesting. I mean, it was one of the first the cabbies. It was one of the first pieces of added transportation besides bus or owning your own vehicle and major metro cities. But yeah, between Uber and Lyft, this is going to be an interesting. Yeah. It's just like anything else, I guess.
Oh, it's
technology wise, but it's going to be an interesting like next 10 years because
sure.
I just think they're just going to bury the cab system. It's just my theory. I don't know.
Yeah, no, of course.
I don't know.
Cabs are not evolving at all. They're not changing anything.
No,
they're just like they had it where you couldn't. Uber could not pick you up at the airport. I don't know if it was just L.A. or what, but, like, you can take it to the airport, but they're not allowed to pick people up at the airport.
Really?
They just got lifted recently, so now...
Oh, wow.
The cabbies have nothing. That was, like, their... That was,
it was
their
bread and butter.
Last thing.
Oh, that was everything. Because you could just... Yeah, you just sit at the freaking airport, and somebody's going to call.
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh.
Mm. So I have no sympathy. if this new revolution can come along and undercut them that significantly,
yeah.
I would get a ride to the airport Uber $11,
right?
Whereas it would be what 40,
yeah,
for the cab,
right?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
The promo,
and then it's still today. Like they're doing nothing to stay competitive, and they're just like, oh, poor us.
That's what, That's what I don't, one, I don't understand. Two, I don't understand then the gripe of, well, poor us, we're going to be out of jobs. Well, you could drive for Uber. I mean, I'm just spitballing ideas here.
Yeah.
Call me the mad scientist, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure at home you've got your own car.
Right.
I mean, if it meets their specs and you're insured,
there's like Uber
go to
taxi
the dark.
Too, you know?
Is there?
Yeah, there's like, I guess Uber commissions like a few taxi companies.
Oh, okay.
Like, you go work as a taxi, but you could also pick up an Uber in your taxi if you want.
Oh.
You know, so like if you're on the road, like if someone waves you down, yeah, grab,
right.
Pick them up. But if you're driving around, no one's waving you down, and the Uber app is on, like, and they see that someone's looking for a ride, they could just swipe up and take
it.
Huh.
That's
so,
kind
like,
of interesting.
That's the thing that they're doing now, I guess.
The double dip.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
My Uber driver drives for Lyft and Uber. Simultaneously, he'll just like see who's.
I can see that. I can see that easy, especially especially like.
Just whichever one has the peak time, that's the one they'll take.
Yeah,
that's whatever. That's fine.
But then, even with both of them, with the promotions they run, I mean, Christ, it's the first couple of bucks are knocked off or something like that.
Well, he gave me.
It's
funny because I took an Uber to the airport and he gave me a code for Lyft for $50 free. And I was like, oh, that is awesome.
Yeah.
And then I set up my account, looked at it, and it was 10 free rides of up to $5.
Oh, cool.
Huh.
And I'd rather have a $50, I'd rather have
$50. One $50 ride would make a little more. I mean, that'd be a long-ass ride.
That'd be a lot more advantageous than, oh, here, take me, six blocks away 10 times.
the trouble with Uber also is that they don't if you accidentally order an Uber XL, they don't ask you if you're sure that you're ordering an Uber XL.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So one time I was
you get
in,
penalized if you cancel.
No, you don't get penalized if you cancel. I think you could get penalized if you cancel like an Uber pool.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, okay. If you do Uber pool, like, they're going to charge you $2 if they're already underway.
Right.
And you want to cancel it.
That would make some sense, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, one time I ordered an Uber XL for me and a buddy. We were just really drunk. And we were like, let's go. Let's get an Uber. Let's go home. And this huge-ass, like, car. Like, this, it was like a Suburban or something. I was like, dude, look at this. This is so cool. This guy's got an SUV. Let's hop in.
Yeah.
And we take it to the Airbnb. And we wake up the next day, and I'm like hungover, and I'm looking at my phone, and I was like, yeah, totally. It's like, I wonder how much that Uber was, and it was like $34.
Oh,
and like with Uber X, rich, like regular X, it's just like it would have been like maybe like $12-15 or something.
Oh, wow. So you took Uber XL.
Yeah. So like, I mean, Uber XL would make sense, like if there was like four more of us where we could like split the fare.
Right,
but it was just my buddy and I.
What is the difference between the two?
It must link the vehicle.
Cars,
yeah.
It must link the type of vehicle.
It's cars that can facilitate that could seat like 5 to 6 people.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
An Uber X is just like a 4-person seater,
huh? Yeah.
You know, but some people have like vans and they just use that for Uber. So sometimes you'll get picked up in an Uber X, and
yeah,
you know, it's just a van.
But God, yeah, if you had a pile of people, that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be the way to do it. Jesus.
I heard there was like an Uber limo thing at one point, too.
That would not shock me. I mean, to like, you know, to like airport or, you know, like a concert or something like that, or like you know, some sort of a game event. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked if there was one, if it already exists.
Yeah.
And then two, how long it would take for that to happen, because I could easily see that occurring here pretty quick.
No, it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Uber, there's so many.
Ubers are only 6 minutes away.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Is like you pull up the app, and it's like, oh, like 5-7 minutes? Well, shit, I'm not even ready yet. You know, but it's pretty cool. I don't know. I like it. I dig it. So, yeah.
Uber Eats is a thing now in Chicago, at least in Chicago.
I read something about that. I don't know much about it. I guess I saw an article about it. I don't know that much about it, but. That's interesting. So they bring you food?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
There's a menu on the app. No, I haven't used it.
That'd be like my gateway to like obscene obesity.
Yeah.
It would be just like, oh shit, they're gonna bring my food too?
Yeah.
Damn.
It just seems like that's most places deliver already, and I feel like having Uber Eats would be a thing where it's like just like an inflated delivery charge, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. How do you tip with that then?
I think you just do it in the app.
Huh. Which would make sense.
Yeah.
Can I read you my uncle this morning? I saw this after I did radio. My uncle sent me, my brother-in-law sent me a Mad Libs that my nephew did. He said, James wanted me to forward you his latest effort on his day off from school. We're very proud. So I'm going to read it to you.
Yes.
Right. Okay. You may be a rad musical expert now, but do you remember some of the first monkeys you ever learned to sing? Let's take a walk down Poops Lane as we recall some awesome children's songs, Mad Lib style. The itsy poopy spider went up the lava spout. Down came the rain and washed the poop out. Out came the pee and dried up all the rain. And the itsy bitsy spider went up the poop again. All around the mulberry wiener. The pig chased the weasel. The monkey stopped to pull up his underpants. Gadzooks goes the weasel. Rock-a-bye poopy in the treetop. When the lava blows, the cradle will rock. When the guy breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come baby butt and all.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Itsy bitsy spider. I'm interested how the pee took the
water
out.
Dried up all the rain.
Very
odd.
Must have been. It was like a Halon piss. It was just like just like sucking all the air out of the oxygen out of the water. That's funny as hell.
Yeah.
You guys plug your shit. Thanks for coming over. I appreciate it.
This was a lot of fun.
Where can they find you? The Twitter, the Facebook, the what have you?
I have a website and it's all on there.
Cool.
It's just sammyrhr.com.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Awesome.
JohnnyBeaner.com and Johnny Comic is my Twitter, and then Beaner's Bean. You gotta watch Beaner's.
Oh
Beaner's.
Yes. Oh,
I gotta do it.
Big fan. Big
Thank
fan.
You.
Yeah.
Beaner's Beanbag is the Twitter at Beaner's Beanbag and Johnny Comic.
Perfect. Perfect.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, fellas. Really appreciate it. Yeah, this is good. Yeah, we can do it again. You know, if we run into each other again or something like that, it'd be fun.
Of course.
Cool.
Yeah, totally. Right. Thanks for the cheese.
Anytime.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Anytime. Anytime. The cheese is good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.